Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Cognition & Co. podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Bennion, and on today's episode, we're going to continue our Bachelor of Psychology, or B-Psych series. In the first episode of the series, we covered the route to becoming a psychometrist in South Africa. In today's episode, we'll be covering the route to becoming a registered counsellor. We're joined today by HPCSA registered counsellor Savannah Nike, as she discusses her academic career and how she became a registered counsellor. Welcome to the podcast, Savannah. It's so good to have you here.
Thank you. It's like been a goal of mine to be on the podcast for a while.
Ah, you're lying.
I mean, I follow it quite religiously. So yes, it has been definitely one of my goals for this year.
Oh, well, I'm sorry I left it until the last month then. Okay, well, Savannah, you know what this is all about, obviously, but let's tell the people listening. We've been doing like a series of B-Psych podcasts that kind of outline the differences between the two routes to becoming either a registered counselor or a psychometrist. And a couple of weeks ago, we spoke to Boipelo about what she did in order to become a psychometrist. So now I thought I'd turn to a good friend of mine and a registered counselor to address the registered counselor route and find a little bit more about what it takes to become a registered counselor in South Africa.
Yeah, so being a registered counselor is definitely one of my favorite things to talk about. And yeah, so we can go from there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we just wanted to find a little bit more about your background and all those sort of things first. And then, yeah, we'll jump right into what it means to be a registered counselor. So what got you into psychology?
So when I was in high school, like everyone is basically, you don't know what you're going to do. And one of my dad's friend's wife was an educational psychologist, and I was so interested in this, like, you know, she's working with kids and I love kids, and I was like, this is definitely for me because I wanted to do something meaningful. And I think in the beginning I had that, you know, approach that all psych students have, is that I want to help someone. And I found out later on that psychology, actually, as much as it's there to help other people, it's also there to heal yourself and help understand yourself better, which is why I stuck around in psychology as long as I have. I wanted to make sure that I finished the Bachelor of Psychology degree that I started. That's what got me in there.
So let's address this right away. You know, a lot of what we've been talking about in this series has been the B-Psych equivalent programs, and you didn't actually do a B-Psych equivalent. You've done a Bachelor of Psychology, a B-Psych program, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So the Bachelor of Psychology is a four-year degree. So it's like from an undergrad and then your fourth year is like an honors equivalent. The B-Psych equivalent is an 18-month program, which is full-time. It incorporates research. It has academic components as well as internships. So the important part about a B-Psych is that it's always talking about a scope of practice of a registered counselor from the very beginning. It's what can you do, what can't you do?
I see. So what you're saying is that even the content covered within your B-Psych or B-Psych equivalent is always then structured in a way that is aimed directly at the scope of practice for a registered counselor.
This allows, you know, you not to do harm, which is the most important thing. If you're going to be seeing clients, doing assessments, it's the main aim of psychology is not to do any harm to anyone. And essentially, it's not like a BA. Yes, there's BA elements where I did get to do subjects like English and politics, but it's always being aimed at being a registered counselor. So if we did an assignment, and I know the B-Psych equivalent is very similar, is that if you do assignments and you do a case study, when a BA, it would be very, you know, general.
So I remember, say, for example, when I was doing psychopathology, they'd be like, yeah, okay, cool. Do a case study on borderline personality disorder or antisocial personality disorder.
Yeah.
As a registered counselor in training, you would work specifically with things that you might actually see in the real world.
Yes. So even if that was, we had psychopathology in fourth years, if that, like, we did, obviously we have to know the disorders and what it entails. But it would always be at the end of, like, maybe you would say, I would have to refer this client due to the fact it's out of my scope of practice.
I see. Okay, yeah. Because, I mean, that's important, obviously. You know, registered counselors do have a limited scope within the field of mental health in South Africa, because they are, in fact, a mid-tier mental health professional. You know, they're not exactly a psychologist, and the training that you would get as a registered counselor is obviously not at the same level and same intensity as that a professional psychologist would get, right?
Yes, just as valid, but different. And it's important to fill a different niche in mental health, whereas psychologists are there for a reason, and so are registered counselors.
Yeah, for sure. I think registered counselors play a massive, massive role, especially in community psychology. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that that's where I think they initially were created to intervene. You know, that was their intersection in mental health in South Africa. I do understand the need for registered counselors. It's just obviously it's a hard registration to create as well, and to train individuals for, because I mean these programs are expensive to do. They're only offered at the private institutions at the moment, and that's a hard task, you know.
Yeah, I think the task, like just dealing with registered counselors, student registered counselors, is as intense as for staff to train psychologists. It's the same amount of effort, because there's supervision, there's research supervision, and yeah, it's labor intensive as well as being costly.
Sure. I mean, like, okay, so to anyone that doesn't know, Savannah and I know each other from a private university here in South Africa where I used to lecture, and Savannah is still a registered counselor there, who works on campus as a registered counselor. And I know that university has now dropped its registered counselor program because it's too expensive to run. The HPCSA says that they may only train a certain number of students per year, and each of those students needs to have access to a certain number of differently trained psychologists, which makes it an expensive program for the university to run, because they need to have fully paid psychologists on staff, and you can't really have hundreds, thousands of students that are doing it, you know, like a lot of students studying via distance. So it's as intensive as what it is to train to become a psychologist, you know, close enough.
Yeah, close enough. I mean, obviously it's more keeping into limited interventions, and you only do certain assessments. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so, but the essence of it is it's very similar.
All right. Well, I mean, yeah, you're able to tell us a lot about the BSIC equivalent as much as you are able to tell us about the BSIC. Do you remember when you did interviews for your BSIC?
Yeah, so we did interviews in our third year. Mm-hmm. And we had to provide, like, it was like a, like almost similar to, I would say, a master's application, where we had to do an article, why a letter of motivation, and where do you see yourself working in the industry 5 years from now? Mm-hmm. And then our interviews was panel interviews, mm-hmm. which they obviously tackled. So coming from a small private institution, they obviously know you for the last 3 years. So they will state things that they might view as weaknesses, things that they think you need to work on. We did role plays. They presented cases that obviously are more registered counselor scope of practice. So it would be a marriage that's not working out, or test anxiety and things like that. And then we had group activities. So it was to see how we get along as a group.
Sure. Because I mean, group fit is as important with like a BSIC equivalent class as it is with the master's class.
Yeah, it's very important. So they did about two group activities to make sure the class got along in a laid back way.
So I was on the research and ethics committee at this university. So I've learned so much from you, having worked at the university, and you know, in our friendship, I learned to understand a little bit more about what it means to be a registered counselor and how important these positions and these registrations are in South Africa.
We were told, and I think it's something I always keep with me, is that we're like the first aiders of mental health. Mm. First line defense, you go in. If we do workshops and, you know, we do short-term counseling like we are supposed to, it helps the mental health system in a sense, because then a lot more people wouldn't be going to seeing psychologists, because the problems were dealt with at a smaller level.
Yeah, that's why I say, like, they're definitely an excellent mid-tier mental health professional, because that's exactly what they're doing. They're mitigating smaller issues that then don't need to go through to the psychologist immediately. And those that are identified, that are outside of the scope of the registered counselor, then that can go straight to a psychologist and can be dealt with immediately. So it's very, very, I think it's such an important role in society. I think it's incredible. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the actual program of a BPsych. I guess the way we can do it is like the BPsych fourth year. I think that's where everything gets hectic. That's where it really steps out of the BA honors side of things, you know?
Yes.
Let's call it BPsych fourth year, and we'll call it the BPsych equivalent. And now, obviously, for anyone that's listening, these are different. A BPsych program is a 4-year full qualification that ends with an NQF level 8, I want to say. And it basically entitles you to professional qualification. So it's got professional training. If you haven't read the article that we recently posted on here, then you can have a look there and see the difference between an academic and a professional qualification. And this is a professional qualification. The BPsych equivalent, okay, is an 18-month program that can be done after an undergraduate degree in psychology or an honors degree in psychology, whichever way you want to do it. But a lot of people get upset by doing it after honors because they feel like they're going to be repeating their honors. But that's not necessarily the case. And Savannah and I will tell you about that in a little bit. But yeah, obviously, Savannah, your training was full-time, right?
Yes, it was full-time. And so is the BPsych equivalent.
Yes.
So yeah, it's class supervision, research supervision, individual supervision, group supervision, and then you obviously have your internship as well. So that's 720 hours that's split into different categories. So individual counseling, admin, workshops, assessments, training, and obviously supervision. I went to a place of safety. I had a school. And I worked at two schools, and I had a rehab that I worked at to complete 720 hours.
Because obviously you have to get 720 hours for somebody doing a BPsych, you've got 1 year to do it. For somebody doing a BPsych equivalent, you have 18 months to get that 720 hours. I think that's a little bit more time to get that done, you know, and a lot less intensive, but at the same time, still very, very intense.
Yeah, it is, because you have to manage honors, which is like honors work, which is as difficult as it can be. And you are also then having to go to supervision, see clients for like the first time, which is you can be very nervous, you're very anxious, you know, if you're not doing the right things. So, but thank God for supervision, we're constantly checking if you're doing everything ethically and you're working in scope, which is something that I think is so important. So sometimes you go in thinking you're going to basically save the world, but in the meantime, you can't do that. You can only really take it day by day, step by step.
And something we spoke about a little bit earlier as well is that the research that you did for your BPsych fourth year, like your research report, that was also very much aligned to the scope of the RC, right?
Yeah, so a lot of people's research was aligned to it. So it would be a registered counselor's perception. They talk about interventions that registered counselors have. So it's the research is obviously designed so that registered counselors are also getting their worth of understanding what interventions we can do, how it's successful, things like that. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about, so what I understand in terms of, you know, the content that's covered, a lot of students ask me all the time, oh, but why can't I just do the practical internship? Why do I have to redo like half my honors now? And I think it's important to outline the differences there. You know, a BA honors in psychology, you'll cover the theory, you'll cover the history, you'll cover the methodology, and you'll cover the research around the certain topics that you're covering, you know. You'll do therapeutics in an honors level, but you never actually learn how to practically administer any of this stuff. Like, I know what solution-focused brief therapy is, but I don't actually know how I would implement it in a meaningful way to effectively help somebody with their mental health. And that's obviously what you guys cover in a professional degree. You know, you get to practice these things. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Basically, we were given seminars, so we were given topics for each subject, and you were supposed to present on that. So it would be the theoretical understanding of it. It would be practical examples that would include the class. So if we were given solution focused, we'd go in detail about what is solution focused? What are the techniques? How can we use this practically? Sometimes, because it was our class, we would give examples of clients that we had used this with and how it worked out. So it was, I would say, class time was so beneficial, because when you do these seminars, you're actually getting, your class would help you give ideas on where you're going next with this client, ideas where you might need to change a little bit. So I really think it was so beneficial to have these seminars.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think Savannah's dogs are going wild. They just want to be on the podcast as well. It's fun. Everybody's invited. no, I'm teasing. Not everyone's invited. But yeah, I think it's important to learn from your peers, obviously. And I think something that's interesting as well is I know a lot of people from your registered counselor class, and I know that they all went to different internship sites. So to then get your experience there, bring that back to classwork time, you know, explore and expand on what you experienced in that environment. I think that's super important in terms of, you know, learning from your peers. And again, expanding your understanding of what's really going on there in terms of psychology and mental health in South Africa. Because the way that you perceive something, say, let's talk about anxiety for an example. You know, the way that you experience anxiety is different to how somebody else experiences it, you know? So like I see it in one way, and then I see a client that comes in and tells me about their anxiety, and it's different. And then a student, you know, in my class, they see another person and their version of anxiety is different. And I think you bring all of that together, and it really helps create a beautiful narrative in terms of what these disorders look like in real world South Africa.
Yeah, because it's all, I mean, sometimes the textbooks are very Western and they are given individual, almost perspectives of individual counseling. So when we did these like classes and seminars, a lot of my classes were in places of safeties and women shelters, rehabs, and it gave a different understanding of what was going on. Like maybe I can say I was a bit sheltered, and I viewed things in a certain way. But when I was in my honors year, I actually saw more of the world in that year than I possibly could have just, you know, reading about it in a textbook.
Yeah, 100% agree with you. Myself, I haven't necessarily counseled anyone, but, you know, in terms of, I'll give you a good example. Working at SADAG really, really taught me a lot about the way that, you know, mental health affects various people around the country. You know, you get these calls from anybody and everybody discussing, you know, the way that they experiencing, you know, depression or anxiety or like more severe mental health disorders. And it's interesting to hear other people explain their perspectives and explain what they're experiencing, because it's almost every single time it's been different to the way that I've experienced it. And I think that's so important.
Yeah, we get so caught up because we think about how it is in the textbook. We think about how we felt about it, or maybe we know a loved one that experiences it. And we think that's what it is for everyone, but it isn't. And it's always so different, but always so valid.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, that's exactly what registered counselors are there to do, to listen to these people's stories and make sense of them and give them something back that allows them the ability to effectively create change in their own lives. And I think that's why it's such an important registration.
Yeah, I will always be advocating for registered counselors as the way forward with mental health. And I think it's something that is so understated, and people sometimes view it as a last option, but it's such a meaningful, fulfilling career being a registered counselor that, yeah, it's good to be a psychologist, but it's just as important to be a registered counselor.
Yeah, 100% agree with you. It's a registration in itself, you know, like any BSyc equivalent or any BSyc, it allows you to work in private practice or independent practice, which means that you're out there by yourself. You know, you can do almost anything that you want within your scope. So it's a very, very important thing. In terms of your studies though, were there any challenges along the way that you weren't necessarily expecting, or anything that really like jumped out at you that, you know, was challenging along the way?
So there was quite a few things that I would be as challenging. I think like when I was in my fourth year, I'm a very introverted person. So I didn't particularly excited working in a group. or having to do all this group supervision. And I think when I got out of it, like, posed so much challenges because I went in with almost a negative mindset. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of things can be a challenge. So I know a lot of people struggled with time management, where I was completely fine.
Sure.
So time management is such a big thing with the B-Psych, because you have to manage your hours, your schoolwork, and you're still doing presentations and stuff. And it's very difficult for a lot of people to honestly cope with that. And I found it difficult to even grasp some of the practical aspects. So sure. That is a big challenge because I know a lot of honors years you do assessments, but in our year we did actual assessments where we were taught how to administrate assessments.
Yeah.
And that might not have been my favorite aspect of being a registered counselor, is to do assessments. But yeah, that was a challenge, is to realize that it's so many different aspects, and you got to actually put your all in each of these aspects. You can't just be like, I'm a registered counselor, I'm just going to counsel.
Yeah, it's not just that.
No. So the practical aspects of, for example, for me on assessments was a bit of a challenge, where you have to more apply yourself to it in a sense.
Because registered counselors do have a certain scope for doing assessments with clients.
Yeah.
Not as many as a psychometrist,
no.
But you still are able to do it.
We always get so one-minded about something, because mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are like, oh, I'm a registered counselor, I don't have to do assessments.
In terms of that as well, you'd be silly not to use assessments as a registered counselor, because, I mean, say, for example, you do have a private practice, you could offer that as a service. And I think that's important. The fact that you can do assessments, that's putting money on the table. It's putting food on the table. So once you've obviously done your training and all those things, you finished your internship, you've done your little dissertation, your mini dissertation or thesis, or whatever they want to call it, you know, then obviously it comes time to write board exams. And these are the board exams that will then qualify you as a registered counselor, and you'd be able to register with HPCSA, right?
Yes. So board exams are written twice a year, in February and June, if I'm not mistaken. And basically, you go to the HPCSA website, they have all these forms that you have to basically know off by heart. And it's obviously registration, it's the HPCSA guidelines. And it's so important to know that, because you never know one day when you're going to be faced with an ethical dilemma. That's why board exams are there, to test how much of your ethical knowledge do you have. And so I was extremely lucky, because I think I had a great supervisor when I was in fourth year. And I also we had a subject called ethics in a professional setting. So we were taught a lot of the stuff for board exams in our fourth year, and then you were applying it in that year. So when you write board exams, it's basically you're just going over it.
Yeah,
it's
second nature.
Yeah, ethical dilemmas in counseling come up a lot more often than people think. They think it's only extreme circumstances. Every day to counsel someone is to uphold this ethical standard of how you're going to be going forward. Mm. It isn't something you just leave at the door.
Yeah. And the last thing you want to do is do something wrong or do something unethically and end up with a lawsuit.
Yeah. You never want to do that. And that's why we always say scope of practice. That's why these board exams exist, so that you can act in an ethical manner and not do harm.
You register the HPCSA so that they can also track and monitor these sort of things as well. And at the same time, you've also got to get CPD.
Contiguous professional development points.
So you obviously have to do that as well, as would a psychologist.
Yes. And it's the same amount of points, psychologist, okay, registered counselor. You have to get ethics points and you have to get normal CBD points, and that you can get through doing trainings, attending webinars. Obviously, due to COVID, webinars have become the main thing going forward.
Yeah, I was about to say workshops. There haven't been many this year.
No.
But I mean, there's even podcasts you can listen to and get your CPD points these days.
Yes. There's peer supervision. There is, if you present papers, you get points. So if you go to a conference, you can count that and get some points on there as well.
Ah, excellent, excellent. And all these things to obviously keep everybody up to date with what's happening in psychology and make sure that they are continually staying professional.
Yeah, because psychology is a science. It's essentially changing continuously, you also need to keep updated with it.
Now, what's it like to be a registered counselor in the real world?
It's definitely a different experience, because I think the beauty of being a registered counselor is that you define what you can do with your scope.
So you work at this private university as a registered counselor.
Yeah.
I guess we can't really talk about what you see on a daily basis, but I mean, you deal with students and you deal with the issues that students deal with. Has there ever been anything that's really shocked you?
There isn't anything that has shocked me, and not because there isn't shocking things that happen, but because I think I meet every circumstances at the university with almost a lot of empathy and understanding. And there is a lot of shocking situations that happen in any situation. And obviously there's things that you might find more uncomfortable than the next person.
Mm-hmm.
It really is knowing where your weaknesses are. And that's why the Bachelor of Psychology or the BPsych equivalent is so important, is because you learn where your strengths and weaknesses are. You learn where there's, things in counseling, and you will find there are things in counseling that you yourself feel like you don't want to deal with, and that's okay. But you also need to know that, because otherwise you're going to do a disservice to your clients if you say, I can do anything, but you also need to know your limits.
Yeah, for sure. From what I understand in terms of the registered counselor training, person-centered therapy is one of the backbones of creating counselors that are able to create change in that relationship, So I think, like you said there, you approach everything with empathy. I mean, that's what unconditional positive regard is.
Yes.
Going into that room and knowing that you've been trained to unconditionally show positive regard to this person, I think is important. And that's something that, I know the literature about, I know the research about, but actually showing that in that environment is something that I don't have experience with. And I wouldn't want to put myself in that position until I had a supervisor watching over me and saying, okay, cool, this is where you've done well, this is where you've done poorly, and really facilitate that development within myself.
When I was in second year, we had a subject called counseling skills, mm-hmm. which essentially they train you with personal-centered approach. You get a great understanding. You do role plays. It's very practical. You understand a lot of it. But I honestly can say that I only truly understood person-centered therapy or even empathy when I started counseling. Because I was supervised in a way that I was able to understand where it was sympathy, what was empathy, where was it, what was the difference. I really understood empathy and the impact of empathy coming from supervision and my fourth year training.
Yeah, I know psychologists say this to me all the time when I ask about their master's training. They say they thought they knew a lot about counseling until they got to master's, and all of a sudden they were introduced to everything that is counseling in a very practical way. And they were like, I learned more about counseling in 1 year of master's than I did in, 5 years or 4 years of doing my undergrad and honors. So I think it's important to understand how much weight the practical training, professional training carries in terms of creating these registrations like registered counselors, psychometrists, and psychologists.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's so different. You read about it in the book. It's so easy to be like, oh, yes, if it's a case study, Timmy is doing drugs, you're going to say don't do drugs. But it's a different case when that person is sitting in front of you and you now have to actually feel how they are feeling about the situation. And it's not just words on a page. It's a person.
Yeah, it's real life to me.
It's real life to me.
Yeah.
Because it's someone's life in front of you.
Yeah. And I mean, as individual as you are, as a person listening to this podcast, the person sitting across from you is just as individual, and they require an individual intervention, which is why, there's training for these things. Savannah, in terms of your recommendations or those sort of things, what advice would you tell any student looking to study a BPsych, specifically down the RC route?
I think that you need to have your mind open and be willing to accept that this is a real career path. It's not just an alternative. It's a great registration. You just need to be innovative and be able to make the best of the situation that is being an RC, and that is working with short-term interventions. I would advise anyone to be, if they want to be an RC, is that it's a great, meaningful career. And if you're passionate about helping people, but also understanding yourself better, understanding your strengths and weaknesses, and honestly making an impact in mental health, I really recommend you go for it.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for agreeing to chat to me today and being a part of this. It really does help. You know, I think a lot of students do see the BSyc equivalent registered counselor as a backup for not getting into masters. And like you said, this is really a real career choice. You know, you can be a registered counselor for the rest of your life if you wanted to. I mean,
yeah, there's so many things you can do. You don't just have to go into private practice. You can work in NGOs. You can work in, you know, private institutions. It's just endless because you can make the best of your situation. And all you have to do is be innovative. If you just put your mind to it, it's honestly endless.
Yeah, I think one of the things is like, I don't often see a lot of jobs being posted looking for registered counselors. But what I do see is a lot of places posting jobs whereby they actually need registered counselors, but they don't know that there's actually that registration or that tier of mental health professional. So I see them saying, oh, we need a clinical and counseling psychologist. And I'm like, yeah, but it's for like a student wellness like program at university. Then I'm like, you don't really need psychologists for that. You could really use registered counselors. So anybody that is a registered counselor, be on the lookout for those. You know, you're not always going to see registered counselor in the job description, but if you read between the lines, you'll see that it actually is within the scope of a registered counselor to do. And that can be a job that you could apply for. So, I mean, this is South Africa and the job market isn't great. You know, we have one of the highest unemployment rates in the world. So getting a job with whatever qualification is difficult, you know? So as long as like Savannah said there, if you can be innovative with your registration, you literally could open the door to do almost anything. I know if I had that registration, I'd be ecstatic, you know? So I mean, there's a lot that can be done there. And if any universities want to give me a free opportunity to become a registered counselor, I'll gladly take it in association with advertising for you on my podcast. Speaking of that, there are only two universities currently that offer this. And I know I spoke about it earlier in terms of the private universities, but it's the South African College of Applied Psychology and Cornerstone. I think you can do BSyc equivalent at the Joburg branch, the Cape Town branch, and the Pretoria branch of SACAP, and Cornerstone is only based in Cape Town. So those are the universities you can do this. But if you want any more information, obviously it's all on the Cognition Co. website. So go check it out there. Savannah, thank you so much for being a part of this. We are so appreciative.
You're most welcome. I really enjoyed this.
Yay. Before I leave you today, I just want to say a quick thanks to Bips and Savannah for being a part of this series. We're so appreciative that you shared your subjective experiences within your various fields, and we know it means a lot to the students. To quickly summarize what we've been covering in the last two episodes, I thought I'd go over the two routes leading to professional registration with HPCSA as a mental health professional in South Africa. The first, and the one that everyone knows of, is to get a master's degree from an accredited university in one of the six categories recognized by the HPCSA. The second, the less known routes, are the BSyc or Bachelor of Psychology routes. A Bachelor of Psychology is a four-year professional qualification that has a 720-hour supervised practicum that allows students the opportunity to gain the practical experience that they need in order to write their board exams and register as one of the two professionals we've been speaking about during this series, either a psychometrist handling psychometric assessments or a registered counselor acting as a short-term counseling practitioner. If you're a student that's been studying psychology via the academic pathways that do not lead to registration with the HPCSA, you can cap your qualification with a professional qualification that allows you to gain the practical experience you need in order to register. These programs are the BSyc equivalents, which allow you to take an academic qualification and make it the equivalent of a professional BSyc Bachelor of Psychology qualification. The psychometric BSyc equivalent can be done after an academic honours degree in psychology and takes 6 months to complete. The registered counsellor BSyc equivalent takes 18 months to complete but can be done after an academic undergraduate degree in psychology. If you'd like to know more about these registrations, don't hesitate to visit our website www.cognitionandco.co.za for more details. Thank you very much for tuning in, and we'll see you soon.